Today's learning should be Lefu Shalem before Perech Peril Yenta Bas Brinda, as well as for Lefu Shalem Chayroch Nachama Bas Alter Hodja Zisel. Everything should go well. Parshas Mishpatim has loaded up with a lot of different things. We spoke about it this past Wednesday in the Chumashir, all the different topics that come up. But we mentioned that it could be summed up in one word, as it is by Rabbi Chiya Michal Feinstein, the famed son-in-law of the Brisker Rav, the nephew of Rav Moshe Feinstein. The whole parsha really talks about responsibility, a sense of responsibility. We live in a world where we're always trying to shriek responsibility. No one ever wants to be held responsible. I look at the political system. If you lose an election, it's someone else's fault. Blame them. Never my fault. Chas v'shalom, never my fault. It says Rav Michal Feinstein, the lesson of Parshas Mishpatim is that we're held accountable for what we do. If we make a fire in our backyard and we don't watch it, we're chayv. If we have an animal, we don't watch it, we're chayv. We build a pit, we don't watch it, we're chayv. It's the sense of achrayus, it's the sense of responsibility. But the truth is, the sense of responsibility that a Jew has really comes out of Har Sinai. Because being Jewish is the biggest responsibility in the world. Now, we have tons of responsibilities. We get up in the morning, responsibilities start right away. How do we get dressed? What should we put on first? Everything is responsibility. Our whole life is responsibility. A Jew's life is full of responsibility. But there's different types of responsibility. There's bin Adam Lamakim. We have responsibility to our Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then we have responsibility to our fellow friend, people we work with, interpersonal relationships. And then we have bin Adam, then we have Achrayis to our family. We have to come home at night. We have to partake, help out our family, and do things in the family. It's all part and parcel of the essence of Achrayis. Although Achrayis is a pain in the neck, and we all know it's true, there's something very beautiful about Achrayis. What Achrayis does is it creates a sense of closeness. When you're Achroy for someone else, you feel much closer to that person. Why is it that we feel so close to our family? It's not just because they are our DNA and we gave birth to them. It's all true. But I believe the underlining nekuda is because we're Achroy for them. When you're responsible for another person, you take on a very, very deep connection to that person. Anything you're responsible for, even something not as severe as family, even someone at work, or a chesed project that you take under your wing, and you're achray for it, you feel very close to them. Because that creates a kesher, creates a relationship when you feel achray for someone else. So when Klal Yisrael became achray vis-a-vis other people and themselves, it creates a very close relationship between us and those that we're achray for. One of the things that that happened as Jews, we have achrayis for each other. Arevim zeloza. We have this thing called arvis, that I can be made to you something because if even though I did the mitzvah already, but because I'm connected to you, I could do it for you. That sense of achrayis, that sense of responsibility, creates such a close knit bond, and that's perhaps the whole idea of the Yom Tov of Purim. We're getting into the season now. If you think about the whole day of Purim, it's a very funny structured day. We do mitzvahs that we don't do on any other Yom Tov. And we give Shalach Manos of Purim. Why? Because the Trumas Hadashin writes to make sure everyone has what to eat for their Suda. Why do I have to worry about your Suda? I got to worry about my Suda. And you worry about your Suda. We give Matanos of Yoyim. Why do we give money to the poor? Because we have to worry about the poor. Why do I have to worry about the poor? I have to worry about me and you have to worry about you. The answer is because on Purim we realize and we express this sense of achrayus, this sense of responsibility. And when you feel responsible for someone else, that creates a relationship. That creates a feeling of unity. That creates a feeling of love. And that's the real simcha. Real simcha is giving to someone else. It's to feel connected to someone else. So that's why on Purim, we have the whole mahus of Purim, the whole makeup of the day, is about responsibility for someone else. That's, I think, the lesson of Purim. And the reason why this came about is because we realized that our differences don't really divide us as much as what makes us alike. Right? Gemara tells us that during the times of Purim, there was a break in Achdus. Am mefuzar mefurad. Manus Levi points this out. We had a problem with Achdus. How did that problem get fixed? When we realized that Haman didn't look at us differently. As long as Haman didn't look at us differently, then we said to ourselves that we're not so different as we think. We're more alike than we think we're not. And the moment the Jews realize that we're all in this together, we're all going to get down, we're all going to be brought down together, we're unified, that's when the sense of achrayis kicks in. The moment the sense of achrayis kicks in, the unity kicks in, and therefore we then have these dinim of Purim. So we realized on Purim that as much as we think we're different, we're not as different as we think. Because to the outside world, they don't look at us so different. Yeah, you daven this way, and you have this chumra, and you have that chumra, but they don't look at it like that. Haman didn't ask for only the people who dress this type of way. It was everyone. So that's why perhaps on the Yom Tov of Purim we have these types of dinim, which you don't find by other Yom Tovim. I don't find that I have to worry to make sure you have what to eat for Shavuos, but only on Purim, because the whole Yom Tov of Purim came about was because when we realized we were about to get killed because we were all one, that kicked in our sense of responsibility towards each other. And whenever you have a sense of responsibility, it creates a feeling of love and a feeling of unity. Nachum Sofer points out, in the beginning of the parasha, what's the connection between the beginning of last and the end of last week's parasha, which talked about going up a ramp, and the beginning of our parasha, which talks about rules and regulations in the civil court? So Rashi says at the end of last week's parasha, Rashi comments that why are you not allowed to have steps in the mizbeach? Because if you're going to have steps and you're walking up, so your erva will be megala, will be revealed, and it's going to be embarrassing to the stones, to the steps. Says Rashi, if you have to worry about insulting a step, kol shekein, you have to be worried about insulting a human being. I won't insult the steps. So I'll use a ramp, but then I'll go down the ramp and kick a guy in the face. It doesn't make any sense. You have to be as careful as you were with the stones. Kol shekein for a person. Says the Chassam Sofer, how many people, when they get into a dispute over money, does this become a platform to start slandering other people, embarrassing other people, knocking other people, because I have a disagreement with you about money? Says the Chassam Sofer, we have to remember this Rashi. The same way we're not allowed to insult the step, so we're not allowed to insult a human being. It's over money, fine, let it be over money. You know, it doesn't give you a head to write a blog about the guy because you don't like what happened. You have a disagreement about a financial issue, take it to Beis Din. You'll deal with it in court, and whatever it will be. It doesn't give you permission, and we all know this is true. We all know of families that have been ripped apart over money. Yerusha and the like have been destroyed. Businesses, partners, and I'll add, even yeshivas have been ripped apart by Rosh Yeshivas. That have been ripped apart, Rebbes, Chassiduses that have been destroyed over fighting about money. And there's a lot of slander, and there's a lot of bad mouthing, and a lot of lashon hara, a lot of bad things going on. All because of money. The root of all evil is money, right? It's the desire for money. So the Torah tells us there's a system for how to deal with money. There's rules and regulations, there's courts, and there's dinim. And then after that, there's no more reason for the name calling and the slandering and all the like. It's interesting. The reason why we have such a hard time with money, I heard this vart from Bezalel Radinsky. It's a very fascinating idea. Why is it, if you ask your average shul rabbi, how many choshe mishpat shaylis he gets a year? Zero. Maybe one. And that was like by mistake or something. Rabbanim don't get choshe mishpat shaylis. We just don't. We get shaylis in Arachayim. We get shaylis in Yoredeya. We get shaylis in Evan Ezer, Tash Mishpach. All those shaylis Rabbanim get. Rabbis don't get choshe mishpat shaylis. Why not? So what's Pshat Rabbanim don't get choshe mishpat shaylis? So Radinsky explained, he said, because most people say, I don't know Hilcha Shabbos, so I go to the rabbi. Whatever the rabbi says, etched in stone. But business, that's my territory. What does the rabbi know about business? What does he know about merging of two companies? What does he know about big business deals? He's not in that world. I'm in that world. So why am I going to ask him? He understands the complexity of what does it mean, under this, that, the other in business. He's clueless. He reads these books all day. He doesn't know this world. So I'm not going to bother asking him, because I know better. If it's a shaila about, you know, Hilchas Taruvas, I never looked at Hilchas Taruvas, so whatever the rabbi says, I accept it. It can be ridiculous. And he explained, says Rabbi Dinsky, that's why people love people buying to Sekulas, because we know nothing about it. So if some guy tells me if you jump on your head 30 times, you'll have a, who knows what, avada. Anything you know about, you're skeptical. If you don't know, you're just completely mavatli yidah. So I say, I don't know anything about Hilchas Shabbos. So if the rabbi tells me this, but I know business, I'm a businessman. I know more than the rabbi about business. So why should I bother asking him? Now, the truth is, Klai Yisrael has gotten much better about this. We have these different Chesh Mishpat hotlines and Chesh Mishpat organizations, and there are even some companies today, believe it or not, that have a rabbi on staff. Just like you have a lawyer on staff, you have an accountant on staff, they have a rabbi on staff. For any complicated halachic shahs that may come up, they go to their rabbi. It's a full-time job. I don't know if the rabbi sits there all day long, but whatever it is, he's ready on call. And it makes sense, if you think about it. If you look at business as a from you, that's the way it should be. Why shouldn't you? You have an accountant for money issues, you have your lawyer for legal issues, where's your rabbi? You should have a rabbi on staff. Okay, I don't know, it's becoming more popular. I don't know if it's so popular yet, but it's not because I'm trying to get a job. I'm not pushing it. I don't claim to know anything about Chesh Mishpat. I'm like everyone else. I say whatever the rabbi says, I don't know anything about Chesh Mishpat. But the truth is, it's honest. Moshe Feinstein already commented, he said he got very few shahs comparative to what the greater shahs are out there. Chesh Mishpat is very, very, very infrequently asked. But I think the reason is differently. The reason why people will ask about Shabbos, and they'll ask about Kashrus, and they'll ask about Taras Mishpacha, and not Chosh Mishpat, because Chosh Mishpat is my money. You want to tell me what I can and can't do on Shabbos? Okay, fine. You want to tell me I can't eat this? Fine. You're going to tell me my money? No. You're not touching my money. My money's mine. I got to pay my bills, and I have responsibilities. I can't be frum when it comes to money. But why? Why do we have that mistake? Because we look at money as it's ours. It's my money. I made it. I'm going to hold on to it with two hands, and no rabbi is going to take it out of my hands. But if we change our attitude of money, we say, money is not yours. You didn't make it. Not like Bernie Sanders, you know, you didn't make it type money. I don't mean socialist type of idea. But it's Akash Baruch who gave it to you. You did your part, and Akash Baruch who blessed you with money. If you look at his matan from Akash Baruch, it makes absolutely no sense to hide it from the one who gave you the present. If Hashem was the one who gave you the gift, he entrusted you with the money, so why exactly would you try to hide from him, and he's the one who set up the rules? It doesn't make any sense. The problem is that we live with a feeling that it's our money. It's Koichi V'Oitzim Yodi. I made the money. Hakadosh Baruch Hu's added this equation. This is me. If we change our mindset and we look at money as merely the way it is, it's a matar of Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so that it's much more comfortable saying, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, you tell me what to do with your money. It's yours. If someone gave you something to watch and they said it's very complicated, when any of you have a question what to do, please call me because I'm the owner and I wrote the manual, that would be the person you would call with a question. Because he knows better than anyone because he was the one who gave it to you. So if you look at moments like that, and then you say to yourself, I'm going to decide. I have no idea. What do I know? It's not mine. I'm a shomer for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's money. So I want to do the way the owner wants me to do it. But I think that's really the sign of mominess. It's very hard. We live in a world today, we have a lot of responsibilities, we have a lot of financial responsibilities, tuition's a lot of money, and food's a lot of money, and very often we make from a cheshbonus, right? We're Robin Hood. We steal from the rich to give to the poor, we take from this to give to this. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, I don't want any of your trefa money. No trefa money. They say over from the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva, he used to say that sometimes kids go off the derech, and he says because the kids have timtum alev, they get affected by what they eat. So he said, but these kids grew up in Haredi homes. Everything was kosher with 100 hechsherim. He says, yeah, but how was the food bought? He explained. If the money that the father got from work was questionable, and then he goes out and buys Chol of Yisrael, 20 hechsherim, and gives it to the kid, that's also timtum alev. That was the Manchester Rosh Yeshiva's word. It's very true. We live in a world today that everyone's trying to cut corners and come up with yeshivisha terutzim, and they're just not there. They're not there. And we have to ask ourselves, is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants? And that's the famous Brisker Rav in this week's parasha. What was the end of last week's? This week's parasha was Mishpatim, and this week's parasha is Terumah. Terumah's donations. Says the Brisker Rav, before you give donations, make sure it's your money. Hashem does not want your donations from Yem's money. Don't do things in business and say, well, it's questionable, but I'll give it to yeshiva, I'll give it to tzedakah. Hashem does not want your dirty money. He doesn't want it. Dr. Biskrov, that's why the Torah goes from Mishpatim straight to Truma. Before you can give donations, make sure the money's kosher. It's clean money. It's no one else's money. We don't believe in take from the rich to give to the poor. That's not a Torah ideology. So therefore, Dr. Biskrov, that's the connection between Parshas Mishpatim and Parshas Truma. A person has to know what is his and avada. A person gives tzedakah, that's fantastic. But a person has to realize what is not yours, you stay away from. It's not our geshäft, that's not our business. We try to stay away from anything that is not ours. Okay, so we left off over here. We're really trying to wrap up the sugya of Hidden Mitzvah and move on to another sugya. But let's finish up at least the sugya of Hidden Mitzvah. If you remember, we had a brisa. The brisa told us that if you are in the middle of doing a milah and you realize you forgot the tzitz and she'ena ma'akvin, it's strands that do not invalidate the milah. So the Gemara says, if you haven't yet put down the knife, which we'll talk more about today, what does it mean? Pirish. What does it mean to separate? We'll see. So then you go back. However, Zog the Gemara, if you were Pirish, then you don't go back. We had a machloikish rishonim. What are we talking about? Is this on a Shabbos? Is this on a weekday? Big machloikish rishonim. But back to the Gemara. The Gemara is still trying to figure out who exactly is the tan of this brisa. Who is the tan of the brisa that holds that once you put down the knife, you no longer can go back for tzitzis sheinim akvin? So the Gemara continues. Allah Maravashi Hamani Rabbi Yosi. The tan of this brisa is Rabbi Yosi. The tan of the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. Bein Shneir Ba'olam Bein Shelinira Shalainir Ba'olam Machalav Vesa Shabbos. This is talking about Kiddush Achodesh. Two people see the new moon, so they got to go to Bezdin to report the news to Bezdin. So the Gemara says, the Mishnah says, what happens if it's clear as clear can be? So if it's clear as clear can be, why should I take a cab from outside Yerushalayim to Yerushalayim to tell them? They'll can see it in Yerushalayim. If it's a clear moon, so anyone can see it. So why do I have to violate the Shabbos? So the Tanakhama thinks, Rabbi Yossi thinks that there's no reason to violate the Shabbos. So now, I'm sorry, the Tanakhama thinks you still violate the Shabbos. Rabbi Yossi, Eim, and Nir Ba'olol, if you see it clearly, Eim, Mechal, Olav, is a Shabbos. There's no reason to be Mechal, the Shabbos. Now, what does this have to do with our Gemara? What does this have to do with our Gemara? Very sure, right? Yeah, it's very sure. What does this Gemara have to say? I didn't put it down this time, but last week's Gemara Mekaymus, I put down Rashi. Rashi's Masber a little bit to Gemara. But again, I don't want to get too bogged down with it because I bet some want to move on. But what exactly is the Shaykhis to this Gemara and Shabbos? Because what happened over here? Where did I put it over here? Where are the other sheets? I forgot where I put it already. Rashi's Masber that over here, the Shaykh is, what's the justification for being Mechal the Shabbos? Right, there's no reason to be Mechal the Shabbos if you already assume someone else is going to see it. So if someone else is going to see it, so why do I have to be Mechal the Shabbos? So what do you see? You see that there's no push to be Mechal the Shabbos. There's no justification for being Mechal Shabbos. So Gemara says, what are you talking about? Mimai. Domatka lekam b'yosi hasam do nitna Shabbos l'tchoyis. That's because by Kiddush HaChoydish, it itself is not Deich HaShabbos. Avo hocha de nitna Shabbos l'tchoyis, but milo, by definition, is Deich HaShabbos, so hachanamis, maybe here also, you should be allowed to violate the Shabbos, even for the tzitzin she'ena ma'akfin. Now, you could have said a different answer. You could have said zekeli v'anveil. Just like the Gemara did earlier. You could have answered that the reason why you're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos for the Mila is because Zekeh Levan Veyu. There's no Zekeh Levan Veyu by Kiddush HaChodesh. So the Achrayim have this Kash, the Shagasayu, and others ask this Kash, but I want to go right because I want to finish up the Sugya. So Zekeh Gemara, Elo Ami Nardo, this is what we need. Rabbanon de Pli Yoled de B'yosihi. It's the Rabbanon. The Tanam would another Mishnah. Arba Kehanim Nechnosim. Four Kehanim would come in. Shnayim B'yodom, Shnei Sedarim, Shnayim B'yodom, Shnei Bezichin. This is when they used to remove the lechem aponim. They used to take the bread off. So there's a shayla that says in the Torah it's supposed to be lefanai tamid. The bread is supposed to be there all the time. So how are you supposed to take it off and swap it out if it always has to have something on the table? It's impossible. It can't be tamid if I'm switching out the old one and putting on the new one. So the Gemara is machlokes tanoim how they used to do it. So the first tana says they mamish used to work it away. They would slide it off. And this way, one would come in and one would come out. So it would always be considered tamid. It was always considered something was on the table. They worked that out in a way that there was never an overlap of time. There was like slided one to the other. Fine. Rabbi Yosi says, no. Afilu elu notlan ve'elu menichin avzeh hayutamid. Says Rabbi Yosi, that's also called tamid. The 3 seconds between the swapping of the old and for the new, that's also called tamid.
Just put the new one in there and then take the old one off.
There's not enough room. There's a spatial issue, so you have to move one and then you put. So Rabbi Yosi says that's considered tamid. So now, simple understanding of this Gemara, the Gemara assumes that what? That Rabbi Yosi is who? The Tana that argues is Rabbi Yosi, because Rabbi Yosi holds tamid means kipshutai. Tamid means it has to be 100. Rabbi Yosi holds tamid doesn't mean perfect. Tamid just means close enough. So the Shaila is, so what does it have to do with our Gemara? So again, the Rishonim want to explain that our Gemara has to do with this, because when we talk about what does it mean to end the process, when does we keep on talking about being pirish when you put it down, and we keep on saying when once you put it down, starting again is a new starting. So they say no, Rabbi Yosi holds you don't need to come on to that, because according to Rabbi Yosi, you can have a break. Breaks are okay. According to our Gemara, you're not allowed to have a break, because once you put down the knife, everything from that is a new aschala. You see from Rabbi Yosi, it's not true. You see from Rabbi Yosi, even though there's a time break between the old challah and the new challah, that's not called a break. That's considered one long hemshech. So if that's called one long hemshech, so same thing with the knife. Even though I put down the knife and picked it up again, that's not a new procedure, it's considered one long hemshech. That's how the Gemara concludes. Well,
so therefore can't be Rabbi Yosi.
And therefore Rabbi Yosi can't be the Tana of our Brais. Fine. So how do we pass on Allah Lamaisa? Do you go back for the Tzitzit She'enam Akvin or not? So if you look in the Rajba number 2, the Rajba says, Ulefichach pasku agoinim v'arabal fasik ahi braiso shim daleka mandapol galel Rabbi Yosi. Because who's the only person that would argue on the ruling of our braiso would be Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi of lechem panim. V'les hilchus hakavosei. We don't pass him like Rabbi Yosi by the lechem aponim. We pass him like the Rabbanan. The way you have to take the lechem aponim is one next to the other. Why? Because anything else would be considered a break, and a break would then be a new start, and you can't make a new start. Therefore, Zok the Rajba, we don't pass him like Rabbi Yosi. And if we don't pass him like Rabbi Yosi, so then the halacha is like the Rabbanan, and therefore you don't go back once you put down the knife. However, we mentioned last week, thank you, we mentioned last week that there's a third sheet in the Rishonim. And this is the sheet of the Balo Itta. We had a machloekis Rambam and Rashi, whether or not you go back on weekday or whether or not you go back on Shabbos. But we thought that everyone agrees that for the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin, you definitely don't go back on Shabbos, right? The tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin, you don't go back on, I'm sorry, the tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin, you don't go back on Shabbos according to those Rishonim. Zok the Tor, number 3, Ketzad. Molden voice and called Tzarcheo. You're allowed to do all the milok. You're going Priya Umetzisa, which we'll talk more about today and next week. Priya is after you cut the foreskin, you pull back the under layer. Umetzisa, and that is getting the blood out. The Choyzer al Tzitzit HaMakvin, you go back for the Tzitzit HaMakvin. Afo Pisha Pirish, even if you already took a break. Valsha Einan Makvin, on those strands that are not Makvin the Mila, so it depends. In Pirish, if you took a break, Einan Choyzer. Vimla of Choyzer. That's the simple reading of the Braisa. Says the Balu Itu, Balu Itu Kosav, the Alpha Pisha Eina Ma'akvin, even those strands that are not Ma'akiv, Choyzer Alpha Pisha Pirish. The Balu Itu had a novel Chiddush. Let's say, for example, I already put down the knife, and the strands I missed are not Ma'akiv, and the knife is down. I can still go back even on Shabbos. I could still go back even on Shabbos. Zok de Tor, v'adoyni av Yerosh, loikos of Cain. But my father, the Rosh, does not agree with this ruling. Right. Not the Rosh, but the head. So the question is, how do you explain the Baal HaEter? The best way to explain the Baal HaEter would be if the Baal HaEter passes like Rabbi Yossi. Since Rabbi Yossi held that nothing's ever considered a break in the action, everything is considered one big procedure. So according to Rabbi Yossi, then the Baal HaEter is very gishmak. The Baal HaEter will tell you that even though I put down the knife, it's ki'ilu, I'm still involved in the process. So putting down the knife doesn't change anything. So the Baal HaEter will go like L'chayra, like Rabbi Yossi. That's what the Shagas Arya starts off with. Number four says the Shagas Arya. Venirli, the Hainu Taimer Shabal Itta. What's Takip Shan the Baal Itta? The Baal Itta holds that even after I put the knife down, I'm allowed to go back even for the strands that are not Ma'akif. That was seemingly against the Gemara. The Gemara said you can only go back for the strands that are Ma'akif. But the strands that are not Ma'akif, why should you go back once the knife is already put down? Says the Shagas Arya. Mishum Dehu Tanya Pirushen Chayz Atzad Shemak from the Maskono Moki Lo Kerab Bonan the Pliga Lebi Yosef. Because had our Gemara come out that the reason why we don't go back is only because we hold like the Rabbanon. And the Baal HaEter passes like Rabbi Yossi. Even though the Rashba told us that Rav Yishayin passed like the Rabbanan and not the Rabbi Yossi, the Baal HaEter went the minority opinion. The Baal HaEter went with Rabbi Yossi. So, says the Shagasari, why? Says the Shagasari, what pushed the Baal HaEter to learn like Rabbi Yossi if everyone disagrees with Rabbi Yossi? Says the Shagasari, Mishum Stamlon Tonakavasei B'Seif Perek Beis the Megillah. Because there's a Stam Mishnah at the end of the second parak of Megillah that rules like Rabbi Yossi. The Tanan, it says over there, Zeha Klal, this is the rule, Dovish HaMitzvah Sebiyoyim, Noye Kol Yoyim. The Mishnah says any mitzvah that you do during the day, you could do it the whole day. And the Gemara goes over there, V'Omer B'Gemara, Delasu Yesidu V'Siluk B'Zichin Osi. The Gemara says the Chiddush in that Mishnah of the Kol is coming to include the din of removing the Lechem upon him. Uk Rabbi Yossi, according to Rabbi Yossi. The Omer Afilu Silik Asishon HaShachris Avzeh Tomit. So you see from the Mishnah, Zok the Shagasai, that there's a Mishnah Megillah that goes according to Rabbi Yossi. So Zok the Baal HaEter, it's not Shver that I should pass like Rabbi Yossi. I have a Mishnah that backs it up. So there's also a Machloikis and Menachas. Said the Shagasai, of Avagav the Karmelon betray Mesechti ain't say to the Mishnah, Vachapluk the Menachas Vistama the Megillah. He asks even more than that. He said, well, again, ours was a Brisa. The Mishnah wasn't so clear. The Brisa said Pshat in our Mishnah, so. But he says the machloikis is a menachis. The machloikis between the Yosef and Rabban is the machloikis and menachis. And there the Mishnah has a stam as a machloikis, and then you have a stam in Megillah. He says no, v'yeshloim a dilma stam v'yachkach machloikis vein alachik stam. Mikol makom haistomad Megillah adif. He says no, the Mishnah Megillah is more of a raya. You know why? Shem the toni legabe hilchos apsikta. Because it was giving you a set of halachas, it was giving you halacha lemaisa, as opposed to the Mishnah, which I guess wasn't discussed in context of halacha lemaisa. So the Shagas Arya felt that the Mishnah Megillah is more important than the Mishnah Menachas, and therefore he paskin like the Mishnah in Megillah. Okay, so whatever the pshat is, says the Baal HaEter, says the Shagas Arya that the Baal HaEter paskin like a Yossi, and that's why the Baal HaEter holds putting down the knife doesn't change the equation. That's the easy answer of the Shagas Arya. Then the Shagas Arya comes up in a more lomdusha teretz. Number five. So like the Shagas Arya, oid efsheli loimer. This is already got to keep cheshmen for this one. Another pshad in the Baal HaEter, da filu pirish choyzer al tzizish eina ma'ak v'nis amil afilu b'Shabbos. How can the Baal HaEter possibly rule that you're allowed to go back on Shabbos after you put down the knife for the strings that are not the ma'ak of the mila? How do you justify that? Says the Shagas Arya, av agav da halacha k'rabbana de peligal ha'de b'yoysi. He says, no. Avada that we argue machlekes between Reb Yehuda. Mishum beperik oirik svila Reb Shimon call him a kalkulin p'tum and achoyva. We have this old rule. Call him a kalkulin. Every time you do something of destruction, you're potter. Destructive acts are potter in Shabbos, except if you damage someone. The Yalf law. How do we know that? Zok Tishagas Ayim mid itzur kolim yishrim mila hachava ba'al mechay. From the fact that the Torah permits mila on Shabbos, why does mila need to be permitted? Mila is an act of destruction. It must be that destructive acts are not allowed on Shabbos, but mila is the exception. Reb Yehuda svirle in the Reb Yehuda svirle that feel mekalkel bechavala potter. Even according to Reb Yehuda, that mekalkel bechavala is potter. Hasa mesakinu mila is productive. The same way you're not allowed to fix a kli on Shabbos, you're not allowed to fix a kli on Shabbos. So when you improve the baby's status by giving him a mila, that's a tikkun. So it's not a mekalkel, but rather it's a misakin. Fine. So let's work this out. If you're going to go back on Shabbos for tzitzis she'ena ma'akvin, afilu l'achas shapira shles lamba, why is that not a problem? Give them a mekalkel b'choy v'potter. Again, if the tzitzis are not ma'akiv, so the damage that you're doing to the baby is not productive. because he doesn't need this. There's no misakin anymore. If you go back to fix those strings, all you're doing is destructive because there's no element of tikkun because the baby doesn't need it. I feel
he may not need it, but it's better. You're still improving it.
No, you're not.
No, you're not ruining it. You're still making it better.
Why is it better? What's the tikkun?
Because you're making it look nicer.
No, that's not halachic tikkun. We're talking about halachic tikkun.
No, but why does that make it better?
Me,
Sophia,
in
terms of Chilul Shabbos.
Maybe Hiddur Mitzvah is not part of the Mitzvah itself because, you know, you're doing it's Hiddur Mitzvah, and here we see that you can't do it.
No, his point is that forget Hiddur Mitzvah for a second. It shouldn't be also because what am I doing wrong? Hiddur Mitzvah is not going to be considered a tikkun, it'll be considered a mitzvah.
We're
I don't know if it'll be considered a tikkun.
In this with Hiddur.
No. We're talking about, did we accomplish anything by going back for the Tzitzit Sheinim Akvin? So says the Shagas Arya, no. You didn't accomplish anything. So if you didn't accomplish anything, so there's no tikkun. So he says, V'kivin the makalka b'choy l'potter, the Shari Rachman and Mila b'Shabbos, ain't l'mish m'sakim Mila, hayru d'avka b'tzitzit Sheinim Akvin, hu d'avle m'sakim Mila. So since midaraisa, you don't have to go back for them because it's not ma'akiv. Since during the week you go back for the strands that are not ma'akiv, alma midarabana mila noig behen. If the Rabbanan tell you to go back during the weekday, it means because the Rabbanan telling you that this is a chelik of the Maisa Mila.
But then it's not Mekalkal anymore.
Oh, so therefore Zokti Shagasari, Osi Mitzvahs Mila, the Rabbanan, Vedochi Shabbos, Mekalkal, Bechabur, the Rabbanan. So therefore Zokti Shagasari, if I see that Chazal gave the Tzitzit Sheinim Akvin a Chashivas of Mila, which is why I go back on a Tuesday, so therefore now when I come on Shabbos and I say to myself, well, Shabbos, it's Mekalkal the Rabbanan. So what? But it's Mila the Rabbanan. So therefore, the Mila de Rabbanan should allow me to override the Mekalkal de Rabbanan. Because according to this, there's no Mekalkal de Raisa because I'm not really being Masakin anything. It's only Mekalkal de Rabbanan which would not allow me to do it. But on the other hand, it's Mila, so maybe Mila pushes it aside. So therefore, Zogdi Shagasari, Kimoshi Mitzis Mila Shal Tayra Deicha Shabbos Melacha Shal Tayra Masakin Mila. Hachanami de Rabbanan Dochi Yisud Rabbanan. Ay, Vahad Tanya Pirish Enoch Hayes Altsis Shayna Makvin. So how do you read our Gemara? Our Gemara said you don't go back. That's Reb Shimon who's mekalkal b'chayil chayiv. That's because our Gemara by us in Shabbos is going according to Reb Shimon who holds mekalkal as chayiv. But Yossi mitzvahs milo. Ma'asheiki the Baal Itta passed like a Yehuda. The Baal Itta passed that mekalkal is potter. So if mekalkal is potter, going back for Tzitzit Sheinim Akvin on Shabbos would not be a violation of Shabbos. It would only be a rabbinic violation. So we keep the rabbanans. Yeah, we keep the rabbanans, but not if the rabbanan also said that this is a milo. The rabbanan.
What about doing a causing a wound?
Right, but.
Then we say you're not allowed to do that.
Because Yehuda holds mekalkal destructive acts are not chayav on Shabbos unless
that's because of destruction.
Right, so that's what you do over here. That's cutting.
You're also causing a wound. To
That's all part of it. The whole action that you do.
Different thing. You could break a table. That's
here also. Right here also. When you cut someone, that's also destruction.
But it's also causing a wound. So it's two different actions.
No, but the issue that but you wouldn't be held accountable because the cutting is not considered a productive outcome. When do we ask for cutting or making a wound? That's if it's for a purpose, according to the sheet. If it's a purposeless, then it's just makalkal and your pot.
Right. Yeah. That's exactly the problem. Once you call it a mila de rabbana, then it's no longer a makalkal. So it's not that you have mila de rabbana on one hand and issur
kol shabbos. Right. He keeps saying midarais. That's not a mila.
No, but our whole justification for doing it is because it's productive because the Rabbanan say, this is a meal of the Rabbanan.
No.
Once you say it's a productive act, regardless whether it's the rice or Rabbanan, it no longer is.
No, it can't be productive because then you're going to be chayfer on Shabbos. His whole point
is that's exactly the problem.
Right, so his whole point is it's not considered productive, but it will be knocked down to mekalkal de Rabbanan.
And then if it's not productive, then you shouldn't be allowed to do it during the week.
Right. Exactly. That's his point. From the fact that we go back during the week, is a right that this is called Mila. This is enough called a Mila. So if it's enough called Mila, I can justify
it
on Shabbos.
Then it's productive and it's not Mekalkal. They can't go, they're mutually exclusive. Once you call it a productive.
Right. But that's part of it. That's why you like to do it on Shabbos.
No, then it should be Doraisa Asr then.
No, but it's not. This is the thin line over here. It's not really Misakin because you don't need it.
But But then you shouldn't be allowed to rosh
hashanah. No, because that's his point. His point is when you're going to go up rabbanon against rabbanon, I don't need such a strong svara. I just need to be able to push right. aside the rabbanon's mekalkel.
I say, but once if you call a meal the rabbanon, it's no longer mekalkel.
No, I understand. Right? No, I hear what you're saying. I think what he'll tell you is, Shai Gassari will tell you is that I don't mean to say that this is really mila because it can't be. From the fact that Chazal were matzvachir to go back during the week, it means it has a we'll call it a shei mila, right? Sometimes we go that very thin line of being in the parsha of mila without being mila itself. Okay. So
this has no
reference
to the heater mitzvah.
Right, he's not getting involved in heater mitzvah over here, which you can avarn.
This is an establishment of Baal Rita holds like Rabbi Yehuda.
Yeah. That's the assumption of the Shai Gassari. I don't know. This is the assumption of the Shai Gassari, at least in this piece. Okay. That's enough alumnus for this sugya.
When if this were to happen and
practically?
Practically. And the Moel leaves, and then the next day or a week later, the parents see, they didn't notice it before. Would you go back and remove them? Or could a doctor just do it?
It's machlokes rishonim. Halacha
l'maaseh.
Right, that stuff is machlokes rishonim. According to some rishonim, there's no reason to go back, and you're not allowed to go back.
Because you're causing
an unnecessary wound, according to the Chassam Sefer. I forgot already, how do we paskin? I forgot already, there's machlokes in the tshuva swarm. Halacha l'maaseh, if you go back or not. I forgot. I think we came out. I don't remember. We spoke about
it. Make a bracha if you go back.
That's a shayla. We talked about that. I don't think so. I think they say you don't make a bracha. But if it be tzitzit hama'akfin, then maybe you would make a bracha. Which hopefully we'll get to more in today. Now, just for the side note, what is considered a pirish? What's considered that you stopped the process? You're holding the knife and you're going down to the breakfast with the bagels. That's considered you're still in the middle of the meal. The baby's all bandaged up. The baby's all done. But you're holding the knife in your hand. That means you still haven't been separated. So there's a gevaldik ran over here, number 6. This really is going to take us to the next sugi that we need to get to, which I don't know if I'll get to it before Purim, is a very, very big sugi of mitzitza. What exactly is the role of mitzitza in the mila? Is it medicinal? Is it a halachic? Is it both? What exactly is its role? And obviously then dealing with the controversy of mitzitza bepeh and all that good stuff. But the Chiddush Ran writes like this. He says, Pirish, Dil Rabbanan called the huchosh of luprisha. The Rabbanan that argue in the Biyasi about the lechem upon him, they hold that once you stopped separation, that's already, anything is considered separation. But given the mitukum of Bryce, the Karabon and Roy Lahachmish, the Lars of Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin, Bishop Pirish. We don't go back for Tzitzit Shein Ma'akvin once he's separated. Mistaman Shabbos. Umistavro the Chosman Shum is Asik Bitzarchi Milo. As long as he's still involved in the needs of the Milo, Kigoin Chati Chosoi, obviously cutting it, Upriyosoi and peeling it back, Umitzitzosoi and doing Mitzitza, Loy Mikri Pirish. Chiddush from the Ran. Even though you would argue that the mitzitzah is not really part of the mila, the mitzitzah is the medicinal follow-up treatment of the mila. Zakhtara, no, that's also still considered being in the mila. Why? The kulu tzayrech mila ninu. They're all part of the mila. It's all part of the process. The process has many stages. First, you cut the foreskin, then you pull back, and then you suck out the blood. That's all part of it.
Even according to Rabban,
yeah. Avalim silik yadav achem ikem. But after the mitzitzah is over, Hainu Pirish, that's already like you separated. Are you still bandaging up the baby? That's essential. Now here where it gets very thin-lined again. Yeah. What's the difference between the bandages and the mitzitza? They're all medicinal. So where do you draw the line between this medicinal and that medicinal? So the Ran, So you see from the Ran L'chaira that he puts mitzitza on a different playing field. Mitzitza is part of priya and chaticha, while the bandages is on the medicinal side. You know? The first part is done by the moil, and then afterwards you switch over to the doctor side, right? Now one would have argued that maybe mitzitza should be on the other side. Mitzitza is really, the Gemara says, mitzitza is just for medicinal purposes. You don't want the blood there, so you suck it out. So the Gemara, we're going to get to this Gemara. The Gemara says, that's not ma'akib, but the moil gets beaten over the head because it's dangerous.
Is priya the right side?
We're going to get to that hopefully today or next week. We're going to get into mila and priya, the two stages of bris. Now, again, I don't claim to understand exactly all the Matzias, and Google wasn't all that helpful, and I'm not going to go YouTube because I'm afraid of what I'm going to see. So next time you're at a Mila, try to get a better look exactly how everything exactly looks. But we'll talk a little bit about more today. This is really a hakdoma to the subject I want to get to next, about Mila and Priya, the two stages of Mila. But then the Ran says, then the Ran says, well, I'm not so sure. Maybe even mitzitza by itself, yesh la'ayin. The chol shepara, maybe once you did the priya, harei sayim tzarech emila. That's already the end of the mila. But doma ha-mitzitza, mikri v'fu, v'loi tzarech emila, v'tzarech yin. Very lomdish shayla from the Ran. The Ran is not sure where to put mitzitza. Again, the Ran assumed that pshat in the Gemara is whenever you finish the mila process, that's considered pirish. The question is, what's the mila process? Is the mila process just the chaticha and the priya, the cutting and the pulling back, and the mitzitza is on the medicinal side? Or no, mitzitza is on the mila side, and the bandaging and the cream is on the medicinal side. He's not, himself is not sure the Ran. We'll see, this will become very negeya as we see the next Gemara.
If it wasn't medicinal,
it would have some form of halachic connection, which we'll have to get to. Pashas de Gemara sounds like, which we'll hopefully get to, it's strictly medicinal. That's why.
Well, the fact that there's so much dispute about how you do the mitzvah.
Oh, that's part of the argument. That's right. The question is, who started that idea? Who started that idea that the mitzvah is more than just medicinal, and therefore became such a tumult about how to do it? Well, hopefully, we'll get to that when we deal with that sugya. Now,
also, like, how do you?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. Yeah, I don't know when the first. We'll see a Mishnah in Shabbos that talks about it, but my guess is as good as yours, as we'll read the Mishnah.
What's the makor for Bris Mila, like how to do it in the Torah?
Ah, so we're going to get to that also. Blinder later today. We'll see a Gemara in Yevamos. That's going to talk about the stages, Mila and Priya, and which is what. And then we'll figure out what everything is. Right, very, yeah.
And
hopefully we'll get to that.
We're literally talking about seconds, because the difference between Priya and Mitzitza is literally seconds that you're talking about. I mean, you're not talking about it's not like 5 minutes.
No.
Even, you know what I mean?
Everything's pretty quick. I'm saying from Chaticha to Priya is 2 seconds.
Right, and then I'm saying, and even then from Priya to Mitzitza.
Yeah, everything.
And, so when you're Pirish, I mean, you know.
The guy took a break. The guy took a break. If he stopped after Priya and he didn't get to Mitzitza yet, so then according to the Ran, he would have to go back.
But I mean, automatically, you have to take a break for a second. You got to put down the knife, and then, because you need both hands to do Priya.
I guess, right?
So, you know what I'm saying? So automatically, there's a break. That's what I'm saying.
That's not a break. The break means it's procedural. You don't have to be holding a knife to be a break. Pirish means I'm stopping what I'm doing. If I'm still pulling down the skin, that's still being icy.
Yeah, why should that be any different than the lechem upon him? In, out versus, right, you know what I'm saying?
No, because that's how we, by mila, the pirish is in the procedure that you're doing. Uh-huh. It's not so much in the where your hands are.
Yeah, right. I find that the whole focus regarding mitzitza is Risa from, or the Gemara spoke about that already.
Oh, wow. Which island?
The whole mitzitza.
No, that's not the Gemara. The Gemara has 3 lines about mitzitza, and then everyone afterwards started.
It's a
relatively new development. It started in Germany in the 1700s, 1800s, when they started to realize there was a connection between babies dying and infections in the mouth of the mile. That's really where things started. That's where it initially started with.
Oh, it didn't start recently? It started hundreds of years ago?
Sure. Yeah. Like everything in the world. It started in Germany.
Is there any source anywhere in the Torah that it would be bepat? Or this is just where they always did it?
There's a Kliyokar in Parashas Tazria that tries to reference it from a Pasuk. There's Zayars, but strictly speaking, no, doesn't sound like it. It's more of Alpi Kabbal and Alpi Chassidus, but strictly speaking, it doesn't sound like there's a how. And obviously, in the Midbar, they didn't have a tube. So the male they did. In the Midbar, they didn't do Mila. But obviously, once we entered into Eretz Yisrael, so when Yeshua gave everyone Bris Milas in the entry into Eretz Yisrael, so everyone had Mitzitza Bepeh, because that's all they had. Now that we have the invention of a tube that was discovered in. Is the Aruch HaNer was very involved with this. A lot to talk about. Blinad, we'll get to it. It's still a very hot topic today.
Yeah.
Still very hot topic. You gotta make sure when you go to a bris, make sure you know which side you're on, because if not, you can get yourself into trouble. Make sure if you're on the pro side or the neg, you know, everyone always still watches the mile. What's he gonna do? What's he not gonna do? Gets a little sticky. Make sure you there are still plenty. Many of the Chassidish Shemayim today will still do Matzitzah. The Yakis don't. The Yakis Shemayim do not do Matzitzah.
What does replace that? You know?
He has some form of a tube, I think. I think he has some form of a tube. Yeah. When I look for a mile for my son, I always wanted a mile who Dafka does not do Matzitzah. I don't want a mile who does Matzitzah. I don't want to take chances. It's not a good idea.
So I guess we just got the answer to the question I was going to about. Where do you hold on?
I don't do. I'm very. I said this before by Schoenfeld. Fabian Schoenfeld made a bris for his son Yoel Schoenfeld, who's a rabbi today of Young Israel Kiran Hills. So Rabbi Salvechik was at the bris, and there was a fellow that did mitzitza bepeh. Rabbi Salvechik was very upset. He said, I have more patience than my father. If my father would have been here, he would have made a rush. He would have started screaming, but I have more patience, so I'm just going to keep quiet. That's the way the story goes. But the Salvechiks, at least that branch of the family, were very against Mitzitza B'peh. They thought it's dangerous. There's no reason for it. Why should you do it? But we'll get to that sugi when we cross the bridge. But Chassidim are very makrif. If you tell this to a Chassidish fella, you're going to get your head chopped off. So be careful which circles you run in.
You get your head chopped off anyway.
No, but they're very into Mitzitza. Mitzitza B'peh is a very big Chassidish shazak. So you be careful. Be careful where you run.
Well, so they got a whole
machlokes
for the health department.
Yeah. So now, I happen not to disagree with the premise that I don't want the government telling us how to do milah. It's not a good idea. Once they tell you what you can and can't do,
with mitzvahs,
it's bad. But right, I personally think that you don't need it with a kli, but yeah, you don't need a bepeh. But okay, we'll get to that blineder when we come there, hopefully soon. There's a mishnah at the end of our perek. Now the mishnah reads like this, number 7. Now this mishnah is important because we're going to come across today two concepts, which one we spoke about, one we didn't really talk about, and we're going to try to understand the difference between the two of them. Says the Mishnah, Elo heit tzitzin ha-makfiras ha-milo. If anyone has been curious, what exactly is tzitzin ha-makfiras ha-milo? So the Mishnah says, Basar ha-choifes roiva atara. It's skin that covers the majority of the atara. So that doesn't really...
How would that be? You just get off in the meal.
It doesn't really answer... It doesn't help me what this means. I'm just going to read it to you. Ve'eine eichel b'tshuma. Very important words. He can't eat tshuma. Which means a baby that has tzitzin ha-makfin can't eat tshuma, which means he's an oral. Now, v'mayibal baser, but if he's very fat, and therefore it looks like he has tzitzin, but he doesn't, you should try to fix it just because of marasai. Okay. Mol v'loy paras ha-mila. Let's say you did mila, but you didn't do priya. Again, just very bekitzer. Mila is you cut the foreskin, and then the priya is you pull it back. Those are the two procedures in the mila. You cut you have the extra skin that's like over here, you cut that, and then you pull back, revealing the membrane. That's priya. If you did not do priya, zok tegem mishnah ki'ilu loy ma'al. It's as if you didn't do a mila. Now notice the changing of words of between tzitzin ma'akvin and mila b'loy priya. It doesn't say if you have tzitzin ma'akvin, it's ki'ilu loy ma'al. It just says you can't eat truma. Yet when it comes to ma'al,
is that what that means?
It's an example. It's an example of not being able to. Meaning, it's an example of not being gemalt.
Being an aro.
Maybe. So what I'm getting at is, would there be karis? Is there a chi of karis? Let's say a guy walks around his whole life and he never gets the tzitzit ha-makvin fixed. So he can't eat truma. Maybe he can't become pesach. Is he a violation of karis?
Sounds like not karis.
So it sounds like from the Mishnah that in the second case of milah v'loy priya, it's zero. Garnished. Garnish means you're going to get karis. Mashiach, in the first case of tzitzit ha-makvin, avad it's ma'akvin, you didn't fulfill the mitzvah and you can't eat truma, but you're still not going to get karis. And that begs the question, what's the difference? Is a mila? It's not a mila. If it's not a mila, then it's not a mila. Then you get cursed. If it is a mila, it is a mila. What's this middle ground?
No, nothing would be if it was a guy, and that was his mila. Would he be considered a Jew or not be considered a Jew?
Right. If this is considered, if this is halachically a mila. Right. So now with that backdrop,
but maybe because it follows the Marasayan that when they say ki'ila lo mal, it means it looks like he's not mal, and you need to. Fix it no, because of Marasayan.
No, Malvolay Parah.
Malvolay
Parah is a separate case. You did the Mila, you didn't do the Priya.
I want to read the Mishnah.
It's Ki'ilu Loy Mal.
It's a kosher case.
That's very strong wording. Right? Ki'ilu Loy Mal means zero was done. Zero was done means this kid is.
Just said Lomal.
It could have just said.
Lomal. In other words, it says if he's not Mal, is not the same as. Yeah. It's the same thing as not being.
Yeah, but what was the Lashon the Mishnah used for Tzitzin HaMakvin? I can't eat Truma.
No, because you don't need to use that kind of language because you did an incomplete mila, as opposed to
mila b'lay priya.
It looks like you did a complete, you did all the cutting. You just didn't do the priya, so the mishnah has to tell you.
I would have thought
you didn't do a full mila because you might think that you did.
I would have thought tzitzin is more of a not lacking as much
because
you did everything else.
Lacking more.
I would have thought the other way. I would have thought you have the other two, because you have Mila and Priya, you have the two stages, you're just lacking some, you know...
What's the purpose of the Priya?
Ah, good. So that's what we're going to get to. So now this was...
Remove the skin.
Right, so this was the backdrop that I want to now move on to the next Gemara, number 8. Okay, the Gemara says like this, Tan Rabbanan, Mehalkatin es ha-Mila. We're Melakit the Mila. What does that mean? V'im Hilkat, V'im Loi Hilkat Oynish Karas. What does this mean? So we'll see in a second. It's Machloekis Rishayim what this means. I couldn't fit it on this page, so we have to go to the next page. Is Rashi. Rashi says, what does Mahalkatin mean? So Rashi, but Tzitzin HaMa'akvin. We're talking about Tzitzin Ma'akvin. So you got to go gather up the Tzitzin HaMa'akvin. V'im Loi Hilkit. And if you didn't gather them, Oynish Karis, you get Karis. So Rashi learns that this Gemara is talking about what? Tzitzin HaMa'akvin is Tamil. Fine. So let's continue reading the Gemara back to page number 1. Sorry. Money. Who's the Tana of this bright money? Means who gets Kuris? Who's in violation of Kuris? Amar Rav Kahana Uman, the Mayal. The Mayal, why? What did the Mayal do wrong? Because we're thinking he's talking about Shabbos. And the Mayal did a half-baked job. He didn't do the Tzitzit HaMakvin. So he only did half a milah. So what did he in essence do? He did a chavalah without a mitzvah. With a useless procedure. So it's Mechal Shabbos.
That's why he's getting,
Karis. Look at Rashi again. I apologize for the switching back. Good. I'm going to get to all this. So Rashi says, Amar Rifkan Uman, Oynish Karis, Ubi Shabbos Koi, Shechilo Shabbos, Veloy Osa Mitzvah. Why is he get Karis? Because it was Mechal the Shabbos. He didn't do anything because he has tzitzit HaMakvin. Since he didn't go back, since he didn't fix the tzitzit HaMakvin, he's missing the Maisa Hamil. But then the Gemara continues. Frakti Gemara, Leimaluhu, why can't he say to the people, Ano avdi palgo de mitzvah, asoin avidita palgo de mitzvah, I did half? Now you pick up the slack. What do you know? I didn't do the whole job. Fine. I did 75%, so let's bring in another mile. Let another mile come in and clean up my job. Why should I be held accountable?
Or let him finish it.
Yeah, why does he have to bring in another mile?
Good. So let's see Rashi again, jumping back to the other page.
I really said there's a mitzvah that lasts the whole day, right?
Right, I can do the whole day. So Rashi, v'neimo, let him say, Ano avdi pal gekloimer, hoyul kishe hischil brishus. Hischil, when I started, I had permission to start. V'chabur sha'asa brishus asa, I did everything permissible. Amar chayiv, why am I chayiv? Neimalu, let me say to them, l'chu atem v'saymu hamalocha. You guys go finish it up. Again, I stopped and I only got 75% of the job done. But why should I now be in violation? Why don't you guys just pick up my slack where I left off and finish it up? Okay, good. Let's see.
It's retroactive anyways.
What's retroactive?
Rashi just said, right? He started it, he's 100% okay.
Right, but now...
In other words, his intention was not...
Right.
Is his intention to stop in the middle?
Oh, that's what we have to see. What was his cheshbon? Did he plan this out? Or this kind of happened this way?
So yeah. What about the same if he finished it the next day, even?
No, because then he didn't do the mitzvah today. That wouldn't work.
And why does somebody...
But if it's all...
I mean, then the mitzvah wasn't completed on Shabbos,
Completed on Shabbos, but it was still... It was in the process of being completed.
According to that, so why do you ever get cars? You can say, I'm going to finish it tomorrow. Test because right now on Shabbos, meaning you're saying, when I fix it on Sunday, so Lamafreya.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure.
This is like the
Shabbos. I'm not so sure if that's going to be true.
It's a mitzvah that continues forever until it's
completed. Right, but I'm not so sure if the
it's not like Lulav that once.
Yeah, but the Chilul Shabbos that took place, I don't know if that's going to be justified because I didn't do the Maisa, I didn't finish the Maisa on Shabbos. I only did half the Maisa on Shabbos. I didn't.
What's the difference whether someone else finishes it on Shabbos?
Because then the Maisa, because then at least the action that I did was part of the mitzvah, which all took place on Shabbos. Your case, I have half on Shabbos and half on Sunday. I hear Shail, I'm not sure. That's what I would assume.
And why does Rashi say someone else, Dafka? Why not you? Why should someone else?
He doesn't want to. He's tired. He's done. What? He's tired. He's done.
But how could their action work back for you?
No, because my
how could their action work for your Chol Shabbos?
No, because it's only Chol Shabbos if it's not a full Maisa Mila. If they come up and mashlim the Mila, so not what I did was a Mila.
No, but what you did, you did wrong.
No, I didn't do wrong.
Did good.
I did half a Mila. No, I did half a Mila. They did half a Mila. So together we did a Mila.
Even though what I did, you don't look at it. Listen, what I did was a Chabbalah.
No, it wasn't. It was a half a Mila.
It was a half a Mila.
You did it together. We did a Maisa Mila. Right? For example,
so then it works retroactively. So yeah.
For example, we're going to see the Ramah talks about in the Beis HaMikdash when they used to bring the Karbanos. Yeah. And more than one Kohen did Avodah. Why do we need both of us? Only one of us should be Moteretz. You're allowed to be. Which obviously is going to take on Hutra and Chuya questions, which I'm trying not to get involved in. So what does the Gemara answer? Elo Amre Papa Gadol. We're talking about a Gadol. So what? Back to Rashi again. I apologize. Zog Rashi. We're talking about a gadol. Therefore, what? Elam Rafapa, but gadol shemal kamairi. We're talking about a gadol that got a bris on weekday. Ubechol v'oynish karis to kamar mishamila. It's not the moil. It's the adult right now. He's not gemalt. That's the karis. The karis not because you violated the Shabbos. Because it's not on Shabbos. It's talking about Tuesday. The Gemara is saying that if you have a guy on Tuesday who has a milah and he left it, sits in a makvin, the nimal, the one who got the bris, is going to be in a violation of karis because he doesn't have a bris milah. What does that sound like? Again, according to Rashi, we're talking about tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin. And that means like what? That if it's tzitzin she'ena ma'akvin, it's going to be karis. Keep that in mind. For tzitzin ma'akvin, and you're still going to get kares. The Gemara says, "Ma'akvin." Remember, I told you the lashon in the Mishnah was what? It didn't say ki'ilu loy ma. It says you can't eat truma. That's what I'm getting with. Frank the Gemara, mask of Ravashi, gadol. If the pshan the brayis is talking about a gadol, behedjik sivbeit, and then the Torah of orazocha l'shelo yima. There's no chiddush in telling me that if a guy does a bris mila and he does half a job, he gets karis. I need a braisa to tell me that if you do a half-baked job, you get karis. Of course, it says in the Torah that every oral that doesn't have a bris mila gets karis. So I don't need the Gemara to tell me this. Okay, that's where we're going to stop for now. Now we're going to go back.
And that's a weird thing with bris mila, because since you can
always fix it
any time,
always fix it.
How do you get
karis? Right, that's always a question we struggle with. When exactly are you ever in a violation of the karis? If you can always fix it. So now, let's go back for a second and figure this all out. We have a braisa with a braisa that tells us that if you still have tzitzit ha-ma'akvin, there's karis. The Gemara tries to figure out who's the karis for. So first, the Gemara talks about the karis is for the moil because it's Shabbos. The Gemara says, no, it's not the moil, it's not Shabbos, it's weekday, it's the nimol. Frank, the Gemara, the nimol gets karis. Of course, the nimol gets karis. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Okay, now let's go to the second half, and we'll stay in the second half for now. Zog Taisis Akasha. Very basic kasha. Frank, Taisis number 10. What was the Gemara's kasha? The Gemara's kasha was, what are you telling me? That pshat in the braisa is that the guy was an adult, he got a bris mila, and his bris mila was lacking, he didn't do the tzitzit ha-ma'akvin. And the braisa says he gets karis. In fact, Gemara, of course he gets karis. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Says Taisus, Ava gav de kama duchtin tanya masha behedja be pasuk. In fact, Taisus, that's not such a big kasha. Plenty of times there are braises that tell us things that are explicit in the Torah. So he says, he boiled in the mist, he got the shleimol in his curse. He says, hey, you should have said it simply. I mean, Taisus is bothered. What was the Gemara's big kash? If Pshar in the Brayis says that we're talking about a Godol that didn't get the tzitzit ha-ma'akvin, so that's a fancy way of saying a Godol who didn't get a bris mila. So the Brayis tells me, a Godol didn't get a bris mila gets curse. Thank you very much. It's a pasuk in the Torah. So Frank Taisus, that's not a kasha. How many Gemaras do we have, Brayis, that are kamat, rewording the Torah? So he says, you're right, but it still should have said it more explicitly. He should have wrote that if a Godol doesn't have mila, he gets a curse.
Good.
That's what I want to get to over here. Right. So I want to focus on Taisus's kasha. Taisus's kasha was if pshat in the Gemara was just to tell me that he gets karis, that and therefore on that the Gemara asks, I have a pasuk that tells me that. So for Taisus, that's not a kasha because often we have. There is another way to learn the Gemara. Rashi learned the Gemara was talking about tzitzit ha-ma'akvin. Many Rishonim learned it's talking about mila without priya. Meaning when it says mahalkatin, you go back and you gather. What are you being malakit? So Rashi learned it was tzitzin hama'akvin. If you look in the Sefer Hama'aras, he writes, no, that over here it's referring to mo'al v'loy para. The pshat in the Gemara over here is when you didn't do a priya. Mm-hmm. Fine. So you did mila without a priya, and then the Gemara is beautiful then. Why? Because mila v'loy priya is takachayv karis. So then the Gemara reads very nicely. We're bothered with a kasha if it's like Rashi's tzitzin hama'akvin, right? So the Gemara has a kasha, you get karis. You get karis for tzitzin hama'akvin? Who said? We don't know that yet. We're not sure. But if you learn the Gemara like these Rishonim, that it's referring to a case where you didn't do Priya, so then the Gemara reads very simple. Mol v'loy para, kilu loy mol, and therefore you get karis.
Isn't Tzitzit ha-ma'akvin the same as not doing a full Priya?
Not necessarily.
It's not the Priya. That's
what I'm saying. It might not be the same.
Then what is it, Malaki? Just eating Truma?
Maybe. It might not carry karis.
So not doing Priya is much stronger.
That's correct. That's right. And I pointed out the horror from the Lashon of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says mal v'loy para ki'ilu loy mal. It doesn't say tzitzit ha-ma'akvin ki'ilu loy mal, changing the wording. So the question is, why should it be that way? Now, comes along the Sefer Nachal Eisen on the Rambam, and he says a gavaldik pshat in the Gemara. If you assume that tzitzit ha-ma'akvin do not carry karis, you can't read our Gemara. The Gemara has no verta. What was the Gemara's comment? If you hold that tzitzit ha-ma'akvin and samila do not carry karis, right. So how do you read our Gemara? The Gemara had a kasha, you get karis. Listen to how the Nachal Eisen reads the Gemara. It's beautiful. He writes. He says, Umiyu, third line in, number 12. Miyu nira. She'enoi chayiv karis rak al ikar amila kishaloi mal klal v'loi al atzitzin ha-ma'akfin. Says the Nachal Eisen, there is no karis for tzitzin ha-ma'akfin. There's only karis for no priya. Taha karis gabi oral zocha she'loyim al ksiv. V'tzitzin lav me'haikra mishtamei klal. We don't learn atzitzin from that pasuk. Rak may reboy dihimo yimo kadisa bivamis. The Gemara is a separate pasuk somewhere else where Merabe marbe the idea of tzitzit ha-ma'akvin. Hukvar hachiyach ha-mishnah l'melech b'ragimol d'shkago she'in oinshim karis al reboy. You don't get karis on something which is an additional. You only get karis for not doing the baseline. Tzitzit ha-ma'akvin is additional. It's additional, that's ma'akiv, but it's still considered a reboy. It's considered an additional level of halach. Fine. So
you
now.
You mean reboy?
Yeah. I mean, something that's additional reboy from something on top of the baseline of the Torah.
I'm saying, he doesn't mean it's learned from the reboy
lashon. No.
He means a reboy that's additional to the baseline.
Yeah. So now, one second. Now we got a problem on our hands. If you hold that tzitzit ha-ma'akvin don't carry karis, how do you read the Gemara? Listen to how he reads the Gemara. It's beautiful. V'nirish ezeu kavanas Ravashi dekama perik ablaz demila gadlo behedikziv v'or al zocha shal yimah demashma rak shal yimah klal. When the Gemara had a kasha, if you tell me we're talking about a gadol and you didn't do the tzitzit ma'akvin, the Gemara's kasha wasn't it's pashut that he gets karis. The Gemara's kasha is it's pashut that he doesn't get karis. This can't be pshat in the Braisa. You wanted to tell me that the Braisa was talking about a gadol who didn't have his tzitzit ma'akvin cut off, and of that the Braisa says he gets karis. Frank the Gemara, not true. There will be no karis. Because the pasuk of kares was only for that person who didn't do the mila and priya. Lefi zed answers up Taisvis's kasha. What was Taisvis's kasha? Because Taisvis learned the Gemara differently. Taisvis learned that the Gemara's kasha was, I'm accepting that he gets kares. My only question is, why do I need a price to tell it to me it's mefurish in the pasuk? According to the Nachalesa, the Gemara's question was debating that notion. Who said you get kares for tzitzit ma'akvin? You don't get kares for tzitzit ma'akvin. Why not? Because the pasuk of kares is only for those people who don't have mila and priya, not for tzitzit ma'akvin.
This stems with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah said that case.
Exactly. That's right. It's a beautiful mahalach. Imamish rewrites. It's a whole new way of reading the Gemara. According to Tosfos, Tosfos read the Gemara's kasha was, I'm accepting, I agree, that for tzitzit ma'akvin you get kares. My question only is I don't need a braisa, I have a pasuk. According to this, no, I'm disagreeing with your premise. Your premise was that for tzitzit ma'akvin you get kares. I'm telling you it's not true. And what was the riot that the Gemara brought? The pasuk where it gives kares was only given kares to those people who don't do mila or the priya. He's a sefer. He's a separate sefer. He was written on the Rambam, but he's saying this pshat in the Gemara. If you hold like his assumption that there's no kares for tzitzit ma'akvin,
be an oral without an esoteric.
That's right. That's what comes out.
Then why should you be allowed to go back for nashamos? Meaning you remove the esoteric.
So maybe that
baby can't eat truma. Baby's not eating truma anyway.
Oh, there will still be some form of hedah mitzvah. Have the hidden, how have you learned hidden mitzvah before?
No, this is if it's ma'akvin, it's not hidden, then it's the basic.
It's a little more, it's in between.
But if you've removed the stat of the Isra Kuris.
Right, the terrorist is that this is also.
It has nothing to do with
right,
it.
It's still a chelik of the Maisa Mila. Now, the shayla is, this is a fundamental shayla. Is tzitzit ma'akvin make you an oral or does it make you an oral? I'm sorry, does it make you chayv kuris or not? So if you look in the Ram in the Yushalmi number 13, the Yushalmi seems to be very clear. The Yushalmi comments on our Mishnah. Mol v'loy para es hamila ki ilu loy mol tana v'oynish karis. So they're trying to point out why doesn't Yushalmi say this at tzitzit ma'akvin? The same Mishnah says tzitzit ma'akvin kani chum mol v'loy para ki ilu loy mol. And Yushalmi pipes up on mol v'loy para chayv karis. And why doesn't he say that on tzitzit ma'akvin? L'chayv, this should be a raya. That's a raya that the taki is no karis for tzitzit ma'akvin. Tzitzit ma'akvin does not carry the chi of karis. However, from the Rambam, it's l'chayv mashma not like that. If you look at the Rambam number 14, Dr. Rambam, yesh tzitzit ma'akvin es hamila, v'yesh tzitzit she'ein ma'akvin es hamila, keitzarim nishar me'or ha'or la'or ha'chupa roiv gevoy shalatara, harei ze orol kemoy shehoya. He was an orol the way he was. So that sounds to me. It sounds like to me. I guess you could debate it, but it sounds like to me, you're a regular oral, which will chayra then imply chayv karis. I think so.
Yeah, but also, it almost sounds like it's not like it meaning you, tzitzin. It sounds like it's a bigger deal.
No, he's just describing the words of the Mishnah, the, how much the tzitzin cover. But to me, I want the end.
But that's important.
Yeah, that's just the definition of what they are. My question is, even once we define them, what is their halachic status? So we mentioned before that could be they don't carry kares. This is Rambam sounds like to me when he says it's ki'ilu, this is like ki'ilu loimal, like we said by mal v'lepara. So this Rambam is mashma to me that tzitzit ma'akvin is the worst.
Well,
so then you have, that's Chan Gemara. But again, there's two shilas over here. Is tzitzit ma'akvin is hamila, is that, does it carry kares? That's question number one. And question number two is I mean, we all agree tzitzit ma'akvin, it passes the meal. The meal is not kosher. Question is, what status does this baby have? So that seems to be a machloekis, maybe even rishonim. Rashi, l'chayr, was going to have to say, depending on how Rashi learns the Gemara, whether or not tzitzit ma'akvin carries a chi of kares. The Rambam, I think, is pretty clear. The Rambam holds it does carry a chi of kares, as is the Yusham. Now, Belinda, the next week we're going to discuss, can you have two moyolim do a bris on Shabbos? Do you say so? One second. Each moyol did a half a malach. Is that permissible? Not even chatzis shir, but it's like our Gemara. What did our Gemara say? I could tell the other male finish the job. Is that a valid taina? So we'll see. It's a very serious thing. It's going to bring us back to the sugya of Hutra and Chuya, then bring us back to Metzitza, and then hopefully we'll continue on from there in the sugya of Metzitza.
Right. Sure. I'm really just saying that the